had a good weekend, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. I'm going to tell you about the $24,000 evening and how your tax money was spent. Are you curious? Oh, you're going to like this one. Also, Susan Boyle, remember her? The beautiful voice, but the looks not really matching the voice. The I Dreamed a Dream woman from Scotland, I say bravo to her. She's out. I'll tell you about that, what happened in America's, not America, but Britain's Got Talent. Also coming up on this show, the differences between the female brain and the male brain. That could take five shows, right, guys? Anyway, Abigail Norfleet James is going to join us, and she'll explain what those differences are. It is the summer of love in Taos, New Mexico. Bill Whaley, he'll pop on to give us the skinny on some of the things that are happening there. Dennis Hopper, of course, with a gallery opening and all kinds of cool things going on. So anyway, we'll talk about that. And, of course, the big one, GM going under, going belly up, going bankrupt. Not a shocker, I think, to anybody who's been following along this game anyway. 8 a.m., that's what's expected to happen. I'll explain the details on that and hear what some other CEOs had to say about why it's a good thing that GM is filing Chapter 11, because they had no alternative. And still, everybody continues to talk about President Obama's pick to fill Justice David Souter's seat on the Supreme Court, Sonia Sotomayor. Will her confirmation be a smooth, swift ride, or are there going to be some bumps in the road and a huge partisan battle? Well, you'll get a taste of what it might be like when those confirmation hearings start by listening to a couple of guests on one of the Sunday morning shows, Senator Patrick Leahy and Senator Jeff Sessions, who have completely different opinions on this woman and the possibility of her confirmation. One feels like it's a big thumbs up, and the other a little more cautious. Here's what Senator Patrick Leahy had to say about Obama's nominee.
We'll talk to her about her remarks, and we will during the hearing. But in answer to the question you asked, my friend Jeff Sessions, I totally reject those kind of claims made by leaders of the Republican Party like Newt Gingrich and Rush Limbaugh. To equate her with the head of the Ku Klux Klan, to call her a bigot, this is baloney. Nothing in her background would indicate that she is a bigot or equivalent of the Ku Klux Klan or anything else. This is a woman who has a compelling story. And growing up in the projects, her father working as a welder with a third grade education dies when she's a child. Her mother works hard as a nurse to put her through school. She works hard to put her through school, graduates with honors both in undergraduate and in law school, becomes a prosecutor. And both Senator Sessions and I are former prosecutors. We know all the life experiences you get there. She was a corporate lawyer. She spent more time on a federal between the trial bench and the appellate bench in the federal court than anybody in the last 100 years.
All right, so that was, of course, Leahy's taken. Everybody's talking about the comments as to whether or not she's a racist because of some of the things that she said during a Berkeley speech. We went over the whole thing three times last week on America Tonight. So that's at the heart of part of the negative take on this judge. Now, here is another opinion on Judge Sotomayor, this one from Senator Jeff Sessions.
The entire concept of the American rule of law is blindfolded justice, that the judge sets aside their personal and political and biases of any kind and gives an objective ruling on the law and on the facts. People have to believe that or they lose respect for the law. The marvelous moral authority of the law can be undermined if people think that the decision is being made on the basis of a judge's personal views or biases or background. And I read her piece. It's very interesting. I think it's something we need to probe. But I think it goes against the great heritage of American law that calls for judges to be a neutral umpire, as John Roberts said.
Yeah, so here's the thing. Can the judge, first of all, can the judge be completely neutral? What is it that we're looking for in the justice? Specifically, Obama, when he nominated her, said that he was looking for somebody with empathy. And that was part of the reason for his choice and also her background. And then, of course, what she brings to the table, having gone through three levels of the law. In other words, being a lawyer, working her way up to the judge, the whole thing, and, of course, the appointment. So it is not going to be smooth sailing. Do I think, and I'll say it again and again, I've probably said this 15 times, do I think that she will ultimately be the Supreme Court justice who fills the shoes of Justice David Souter? I'm going to say absolutely yes, because if you look at where the cards are stacked, there's no way. It doesn't matter what Newt Gingrich says, the former Speaker of the House who's on a ton of shows, or Rush Limbaugh, what he says. Ultimately, what it matters about is that confirmation hearing and what the Senate decides to do. And will they be influenced by any of that? Certainly not. Will they be influenced by some of her comments? Well, I think some of the Republicans won't vote for her, and perhaps even some of the Democrats. But ultimately, she will get the majority, and she will get confirmed, I believe, unless something unforeseeable comes out. And what that is, I don't know, because you can be guaranteed that every rock is being overturned. And so far, the things that have come out was this speech in Berkeley and another speech that she did and a couple of the cases certainly that she's worked on and some of the groups that she joined. Like, she joined the National Council of La Raza and the board of the Puerto Rican Legal Defense Fund. They're two Hispanic civil rights groups that, of course, push for vigorous affirmative action. And as a judge, she has argued for diversity on the bench, absolutely, by at times alluding to the insights that she got from her background as a Hispanic woman in this country. But that's exactly what Obama said he was looking for. And if you look at the majority in this country, you look at the constituency, et cetera, and you look at getting reelected, what direction do you think the person who has the appointment to give would go? So this is not a surprise to anyone. Do you think it'd be a surprise to people if I said 5 years ago nobody would think that GM would be the company that would be looking for bankruptcy and a new start? I think so. I think people would say, no, GM is a rock-solid company, and it can withstand some of the blows that may come GM's way. Well, that would be absolutely wrong, because Monday they're headed into a bankruptcy protection hearing, and they're taking a bet that by temporarily, anyway, nationalizing certainly one of the big icons of American capitalism, as the New York Times called it, taking a big gamble by going the bankruptcy route. It will be filed in New York, you can bet it. And that'll happen on Monday morning. A lot of people will be talking about that. We're going to talk about that here on America Tonight. Coming up on the flip side, though, the differences between men and women. Stick around, everybody.
Are you concerned for the safety of your loved ones? Listen closely to this message from PepperSpray.com. Every 22 seconds a violent crime is committed. America has changed, and your personal safety is your first priority. Be smart. Be safe. Trust Pepper Spray instead of your luck. PepperSpray.com is the only website you'll ever need for all of your non-lethal self-defense supplies. PepperSpray.com carries one of the largest assortments of pepper spray and personal safety products on the web. From big to small, we have it all. Pepper spray, mace, animal repellents, stun guns, and tasers. Pepperspray.com also carries a large assortment of products for personal, home, child, and pet safety. Enter SAFE in the coupon box, and you'll receive a special discount off of your order. So what are you waiting for? Go to Pepperspray.com. That's Pepperspray.com. Or call 1-800-908-9988 today.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
If you've always wanted to experience the amazing benefits from using oil of oregano, the time to act is now. With so many places to choose from, where can you be 100% certain you're getting the highest quality oil for your dollar? The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com brings you ultra-pure, non-diluted oil of oregano with 80% or better carvacrol. PureBulk.com also carries over 120 nutritional products, including atomic iodine, amino acids, herbal extracts, and heart health, all made with no fillers, additives, or fancy packaging, saving you 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. With each order, PureBulk.com will send you 1 dram of atomic iodine, a 150-day supply, absolutely free. Just enter promotional code IODINE at website checkout. Visit PureBulk.com, that's PureBulk.com, or call 406-251-3270, 406-251-3270 today.
All right, guys, pay attention to this next segment here on America Tonight. And certainly those of you who are parents of boys want to pay attention to this. Really thrilled about our next guest, Dr. Abigail James. And she absolutely has the background for this. She's written a book called Teaching the Male Brain, How Boys Think, Feel, and Learn in School. She's an adjunct professor of education at the University of Virginia. This is the cool part. She's been everywhere we all want to be and we talk about constantly here on America Tonight. You see, you know, she's an expert in this field because everybody is seeking out her advice. She's been to the United Kingdom and Australia and Canada and Spain and New Zealand and Japan and Peru, South Africa, parting all of her wisdom about this next thing that we're going to talk about. Dr. James, thanks for hanging late with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
All right, I guess the very first question is, and I said this before you came on, is what's the biggest thing that we don't understand? What is the biggest difference between the male and female brains? How do we differ? How do we know that this is a real thing?
Well, we know it's a real thing because there are guys who weren't looking for it who found it. That's always impresses me when there are guys who say, gee, we didn't know this was out there. We certainly weren't looking for it when we found it.
Right.
And they're at the National Institutes of Health, so you can probably decide that they're okay. You know, they're probably good scientists, if nothing else.
Right.
Secondly, what's the big difference? Well, you know, they're just all kinds of differences in their brain. Guys, little, and what's really, they're mostly different when they're very, very little. When we come into this world, little girls have the left side of their brain is developing faster, and little boys, the right side of their brain is developing faster. And the big difference that means is that the left side of the brain is where the verbal center begins, so little girls just talk more than little boys do. Anybody who's had little kids around knows that. And the problem is that that means that when these kids go off to school, that the little girls are readier for school, at least for the verbal parts of school, and it doesn't take long for little boys to figure out that school's not for them.
So, boys, how do you change that? What do you do to help some of these young guys when they start off in school in the early ages?
Well, their parents need to help first, and they really need to talk to them a lot. Because little boys don't talk back to you, parents don't always think that they need to talk to them, but in fact you need to talk to little boys more because they need to hear language. I've got a couple of articles on education.com, which is a website. You can go to my website and there's a link to it. It talks about some of these things about developing the language, the beginning of language that we need, helping little boys do that. And then schools do it. They need to help boys develop those language skills. But they also need to understand that little boys and little girls are not the same, and little boys are wiggly. They know how to move around a little bit more than little girls. And you need to build that into your classroom. Let them wiggle a little. I know schools that don't even make them sit down.
Really? And that works?
Yep. One of the schools I work with, there was a dad who was a carpenter who got so impressed with something I said that he went and made for his son and then for a bunch of other boys these little desks that sit on top of their desk so that the boys can stand up, and now they have a writing surface. I mean, after all, Thomas Jefferson did that. He had a standing desk. And so if it was good enough for him, probably okay for the boys.
Yeah. No kidding. Hey, you know what? I wonder about, what about the whole video game thing? Like, I have, in fact, I have three nephews. And two of them, anyway, are into video games. They're all about the Wii. They're quiet kids, but they're all about video games, all that sort of stuff. Is it good? You know, should there be a certain amount of time that you can play the video games, and would it be better to pull them away from them a little bit?
Well, let's put it this way: nobody ought to do anything as much as some little boys play video games. I have a boy. I know these things. And my son, who is 24, actually is very careful to tell me that he knows boys who spend way too much time on them. You know, we all need to spend a little time doing a lot of different things. The problem with this is that the video games feed into the way boys' bodies work. There's a lot of movement for your eyes, and boys' eyes move, and they actually are designed to find movement. So they really like that. And then, you know, mom is pretty happy when they're sitting quietly playing that. So there's a lot of benefit for doing it. Parents aren't even aware of the fact that they are actually reinforcing their children for doing this by saying, you know, sure, you know, you're quiet, that's fine, you know, it's okay with me. Because when boys are not in front of those video games, what are they doing? They're running around, yelling, screaming, wrestling. And by the way, little boys need to wrestle. It is not fighting. They need to wrestle. There's some research out there that talks about the fact that little boys who wrestle actually have better social skills than boys who don't wrestle.
All right, so it's better to let them, in some ways, is what you're saying is they need to be boys. They need to be able to wrestle. They need to do lots of different things. Don't just plop them in front of a video game when they're young and let that continue as they get older and older and older. I wonder if, and you would certainly know this better than I would, but with the video game playing and doing the one thing consistently all the time, does that lead at all to the attention deficit hyperactivity disorder that we've seen a lot of and heard a lot of in school, and it always seems to be directed at the little boys?
Well, first of all, let's get something real straight. Most of the kids who are identified with a hyperactivity disorder don't really have it. What they have is wiggly boy syndrome. and what they really need, I feel for their teachers. If you had 30 kids in a classroom and five of them couldn't sit still because this is the only place where they're not, plugged into a computer, then I don't blame the teachers, but it's not the solution. Attention deficit disorder really honestly exists, but it's not nearly as common as it seems to be. And the problem with these video games is that the kid spends all of his time at home in front of them, and then when he's pulled away and he goes to school, now he has a couple of problems. One is he hasn't run off a lot of energy, and second of all, he doesn't know how to behave because all he's done is react to the video game.
Mm. Yeah, boy, excellent points. How about this, when you talk about the girls and the boys, the males and the females, obviously responding to stress differently, but does that create differences in the classroom and certainly when they're home?
Well, it really does. One of the things that I have a new book coming out in next month called Teaching the Female Brain, How Girls Learn Math and Science. And one of the things that I point out is that we have recently realized that many women, not all, don't react to stress the way men do. Men react with fight or flight. If a boy gets upset, it's very obvious. He's running around, his heart's beating hard, his, you know, he's sending blood to his muscles and his brain so he can think and move. We discovered that many women don't react this way, that under the influence of oxytocin, which is a hormone you find in girls' bodies, that they do the exact opposite, that the blood all goes to the center of their body, and they can't move and they can't think. The classic symptom for little girls is they get a stomachache. And they really can't think. I've taught math and science to girls, and I wish I had known this when I taught them, because we had a number of girls who just look at me with this look and saying, I wish I could answer the questions, but I've just forgotten. And it's not that they forget, because the minute that the test is over and they get up and walk around and they start moving their blood around their body again, they can think. So now that we know what the problem is, we can also deal with it.
Yeah, wow. Fascinating stuff. Doc, we appreciate you coming on with us. If somebody wants to get a copy of the book that you have out now, Teaching the Male Brain, or the one coming out, Female Brain, where can they go?
Well, they can go to Amazon, of course. Everybody
of course.
Can get a book at Amazon. Or you can go to my website, which is www.rockhouseassociates.org, and there's a link.
All right,
and there are a lot of links to a lot of other stuff there, too.
That's good. That's a wealth of information I'm sure that a lot of people could use. And now I know my nephew, I'm going to go and tell my brother. It's Wiggly Boy Syndrome, so they know to get off his back. Doc, we appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right, Dr. Abigail James. And it's interesting, some of the things that she talked about, I think it's too bad what happens with little boys now in some of these classrooms getting lost in the shuffle. And then the same thing, obviously, with girls with the math and science and the push there. And who knew that some of these things existed? Well, certainly the teachers didn't. And she made a great point. When you have these kids in these classrooms and they're quick to say, well, you know, they probably have attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. And then it turns out, no, it's no such thing. It's just that they're being a boy, and you've got to let them be a boy, and that's what they do. So if they have to stand up, then you figure out a way for them to stand up. It makes sense, doesn't it? Hey, the Summer of Love coming up this summer in Taos, New Mexico. It's been 40 years since the movie Easy Rider. We're going to talk about that next here on ATN.
We are surrounded by harmful indoor air that can easily deliver many harmful toxins straight into our bodies. Take a deep breath. Can you actually feel the airborne influenza, viruses, mold, bacteria, and dangerous ozone entering your lungs? Have a glass of water. Can you taste the harmful chlorine, fluoride, lead, pharmaceutical drugs, and numerous other chemicals? Of course you can't. The air that you breathe and the water you drink should help maintain good health, not take away from it. AirandAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these toxins. AirandAqua.com carries whole house air and water purification systems, air conditioners, shower head filters, water testing kits, atmospheric water generators, humidifiers, dehumidifiers, and much more. To learn more and see the products that will change the way you look at our air and water, please visit airandaqua.com. That's airandaqua.com. Purify your life today.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communication Radio Network.
Alex Jones here with a question. What does humidity mean to you? Most people think of hot and sticky summer days. But many people are beginning to realize that humidity can be a valuable source of pure drinking water. That's why I'd like you to visit acolablue.com. Acolablue is a state-of-the-art atmospheric water generator producing purified drinking water. from the humidity in the air using reverse osmosis and a 5-stage carbon and UV light filtration system, which produces great tasting water at an unbeatable price. Finally, drinking water that you control. I use one every day. Say goodbye to expensive water delivery services and storing 5-gallon bottles of water in your home. The Ecola Blue 28 is shipped right to your home, ready to make close to 7 gallons a day right out of the box. They have a 30-day money-back guarantee.
Call Ecola Blue right now at 1-800-691-6043. That's 1-800-691-6043. Or visit Ecola Blue at ecolablue.com today.
Are you concerned about an economic downfall? Would you like to have more money to invest in precious metals, food, and safety of your loved ones? With the Debt Crisis Solutions Program, you can finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy. This is not debt counseling, settlement, or debt consolidation, which may have serious legal and tax consequences. With our program, you will not pay another penny to your creditors or collectors. Protect your home, paycheck, and bank account from any lawsuits and restore your credit history. We also provide mortgage modification services, which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure problems, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123 today.
You already know that drinking pure high-alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline ingredients. Using plasma pH drops is one of the best ways to make your water alkaline, to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops per liter of water you drink to raise the pH to the ultimate level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-216-9767. 269-216-9767 today.
Looking for adventure. Certainly, 40 years ago, that's what it was all about. If you remember the movie Easy Rider, different times, and a lot of people would love to go back to those times, the hippie years. Coming up in Taos, New Mexico, historic hippie homecoming holidays. Do you love that? That's like a tongue twister just trying to say that. So, who better to join us than Bill Whaley. I'm told he is the resident hippie in Taos and certainly the expert there. At least that's what Pete St. Cyr told me anyway. Hey, how you doing, Bill? Thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Are you the resident? I'm good. Are you the resident hippie expert?
Well, I wouldn't say I was the expert. I'm one of the observers, and I've been here since the fall of 1966. But I have an alternative or independent newspaper, and I'm in touch with most of the folks, and we're sponsoring the Hippie Homecoming this year on June 21st.
Yeah, let's talk about, okay, so 1966, take us back. What was that? What was 66 really like?
Well, you know, there's a couple different things going on here. One, you have the, you know, what was going on in the country as far as the anti-war movement, which then turned into, you know, acid tests and the sort of alternative lifestyle counterculture movement. In Taos itself, we became the sort of vanguard for the back to the earth or the agrarian movement, where people were decided to, tune in, turn on, and drop out and go back to the land. And they were sort of giving up their activism and leading by example, so to speak, you know, and it became more of a spiritual and kind of self-sustaining movement, so-called.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding. Hey, and, you know, we're going back in the time machine, and, of course, Easy Rider symbolizes what happened 40 years ago, and Easy Rider and Taos have a history. And I know Dennis Hopper was there recently, and there are a lot of cool things that you could play off of with the whole Easy Rider theme. Do you remember that? Do you remember anything about Easy Rider? Were you around when they were filming any of that at all?
Yeah, well, they filmed it here in a local cantina called La Contenta, about a mile from downtown Taos. The opening scene. And there were a lot of locals in the film, actually. In fact, I was in the movie theater business at that time, or just afterwards. Anyway, they filmed the opening scene. They had a local musician, Antonio Mendoza, who played the drug dealer in the opening scene. And then some of the locals who were hanging around the bar got to be extras. And when I showed the movie after it was released, we showed it in March of 1970, all the locals showed up every night, and we had huge crowds, and they were all out there signing autographs and so forth. So it was, you know, it was a big deal for everybody. And the film itself, as you may know, or as Dennis pointed out during our earlier get-together at the Harwood Museum where he's showing his art, it was the first time that a lot of the countercultural lifestyle was shown in what turned out to be a major film. And the film itself, of course, was a revolutionary idea because it was a low budget and a real shock to Hollywood, which was in kind of the doldrums at the time. So he and Peter Fonda and Jack Nicholson, it was the big breakthrough movie for Jack Nicholson. He won the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor. And it really set Hollywood on its ear, and, of course, they made a lot of money, and both Jack, Peter and Dennis all went on to make independent films afterwards as sort of a reward.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, and so Hopper's art is pretty cool. I've seen a bunch of it, and that's, I'm sure at the gallery, that's got to be a huge hit, right?
Yeah, yeah. Dennis and a bunch of his friends from L.A. are showing the art. Several of them live here. They've been here since about 1970, 71. You know, there was a big art movement in Los Angeles that really began in the late 50s, early 60s. Dennis himself was part of the art scene. He was in and out of the movie business, and when he wasn't working or wasn't acting, he was making art. And in fact, he made a prior movie there was an outfit called American International Pictures, which was run by Roger Corman, and he and Peter and Jack all were in motorcycle movies. And Dennis made one called The Trip, which is kind of the first LSD acid movie. A lot of people probably don't remember that. It was one of those kind of exploitation films, but that's where they sort of, you know, learned their chops about movie making with these kind of motorcycle movies.
Yeah. Hey, so tell us about the, for people listening, too, that want to go to Taos, in all the things that we've just talked about, this hippie homecoming, the events that are unfolding. How did you pull it all together? Because you start off with this, I guess you've got a, is it a masked ball, or is it you're just wearing a mask?
Well, it sounds really cool. Yeah, what happened is the town came up with this idea to celebrate the 40th anniversary of Easy Rider, and they're calling it the Summer of Love in Taos. And we sort of go back to 1969, which was the year that everything changed around here, and there was sort of this influx of hippies or counterculture people. And so what we're doing from the 19th through the 24th, we've got several events, including a mass ball, which is a traditional artist ball here in Taos that hasn't been active in the last few years. And that's followed by a motorcycle rally and showing of the film Easy Rider on Saturday. And then we've got a bunch of photography. We have several photographers here who were taking pictures both in San Francisco and Taos at the time, in the late 60s, early 70s. And then and the big event is on June 21st. We have a hippie homecoming. We have a body painting. And we're bringing back a band that was sort of locally famous at the time and also played in San Francisco and used to open for Jerry Garcia before became the Jerry Garcia's band became the Grateful Dead. So they're reassembling, and then we're going to finish off with a boogie on Wednesday, June 24th. So it's 3 or 4 days, and especially for people who pass through during that time, it's a chance to kind of come and visit old friends and tell war stories and relive those shared emotional experiences.
Yeah, no kidding. And talking about the counterculture movement, did you make friends, let's say in the 60s, with people that now you still run into today, and then you say, oh, I remember that. Remember back in 1968 when this happened or whatever? Do you still hang
well,
with some
absolutely.
Of those people?
Absolutely. You know, there was this kind of wonderful feeling. And what was going on? I was here in Taos mostly, but every year people from Taos used to I worked at the ski valley in the wintertime. I was kind of a ski bum there in the late 60s. And as were, you know, many sort of counterculture types. And people used to kind of move back and forth. They'd go to San Francisco to the Hate for the summer or for a couple weeks or a couple months, then come back to Taos, or they'd go to New York. And there was all this sort of cross-cultural fertilization going on, you know. I mean, we have, for instance, Lisa Law did a book, famous book called Flashing on the 60s, and, you know, Janis Joplin came through, Bob Dylan came through, all these different people came through. It's like everybody had to dip their toe into Taos at the time.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow, and you think of the music at that time. You mentioned Jerry Garcia, and, of course, the Dead became such a movement. I mean, it wasn't, besides the music, I mean, it was all about following the band and knowing the band, and that continued for a very long time and really still exists, don't you think?
Well, yeah, it does, as far as I know. You know, the Deadheads are still going. In fact, I think they, I'm not sure what they call the band today. They just played in Denver, I think, a couple weeks ago. And you know, what was hilarious to me, I was originally from Nevada, which was, Nevada was kind of a redneck state and very conservative at the time. And back in the late 90s, the Dead were playing at a casino at State Line at Lake Tahoe. And I thought that was hilarious, given the way, you know, the hippies and the long hairs were treated prior to that, you know, 30 years ago.
You know, they say that you, what's old is new and all that sort of stuff, and you go back. Do you think we'll ever go back to sort of a counterculture movement, a sort of a hippie movement?
Well, you know, in some ways, the hippie movement was really about simplicity. And, you know, the way the economy is going today, we're sort of headed in that direction. Some of the trends that began then or became mainstream, which were, of course, part of this community because it is a rural, isolated farming community and agricultural community. You know, some of the things people were doing then as far as growing their own food and their own livestock, I think in rural communities, that's becoming more popular now. I mean, I know the local stores that sell gardening supplies and stuff are doing very well, and everybody's buying chickens and everything. So I don't know if that's a trend across the country, but, you know, in these kind of economic times, it opens it up for those ideas.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I would think this would be good fodder, too, for your newspaper, right? I'm sure you'll have a lot of stuff
happening.
Yeah,
we've had
a
lot of fun. You know, we always try to write about the past or something, you know, everybody's dusting off their memories and their photographs. And of course, a lot of the people who came at that time stayed, you know, and they moved into the mainstream community as, you know, plumbers, attorneys, realtors, developers, all the usual professions, so to speak, you know, and artists. I mean, we've always had lots of artists here. I mean, Taos has been an art colony since the, really since, well, legend has it since 1898, when two of the founders, Bert Phillips and Ernest Blumenschein, got a broken wagon wheel and then stayed, and one thing led to another. So there's always been a stream of artists going back and forth from both coasts.
Yeah, no kidding. It sounds like so much fun. Bill, thanks for hanging with us for a few here on ATN.
Well, thanks a lot for giving us a call, and please come out and see us this summer.
Oh, we'd love to. Absolutely. Historic hippie homecoming holidays. I love saying that. And that's coming up. That just starts things off with the Summer of Love in Taos, New Mexico on June 19th. Hey, what'd you do this weekend? I'm going to fill you in on my weekend coming up next.
Would you give someone $100 for a $10 bill? If you're taking vitamins and minerals in a pill form, that's exactly what you're doing. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman. According to the physician's desk reference, many vitamins and minerals in a pill form are 10% absorbed. It doesn't take a mathematician to figure out for every $100 you spend on these pills, you're flushing $90 down the toilet. Start absorbing the nutrients you swallow. Introducing Chews for Health, a delicious tasting chewable containing 16 superfruits, sea vegetables, and antioxidants. You know, you work hard for your money. Isn't it time to start getting what you pay for? Order today. 1-800-210-1922. With Choose for Health, your body gets to keep the nutrients you swallow. The first 300 callers are going to receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. 1-800-210-1922. Or go to orderchoose.com.
Hi, this is Peter Kronschnabel with Midas Resources. As you know, government spending is at an all-time high and inflation is on the rise. What are you doing right now to protect yourself financially? As the economy continues to deteriorate due to corporate greed and government intervention, more people will lose their jobs and worse, their life savings. Having your hard-earned money in banks, the stock market, or any other paper asset is a lose-lose deal. You'll lose on your capital investment and you'll lose purchasing power as the dollar continues to devalue. One thing is certain, having physical possession of gold and silver will guarantee that no matter what happens, your investment will never be worthless. If you've been thinking about investing in the physical possession of precious metals, I can help. Call me today, Peter Kronschnabel, at 800-686-2237, extension 108, and I will take the time personally to put together a portfolio designed to protect what you've worked so hard for. Call Peter, 800-686-2237, extension 108. You've worked hard your whole life, and I want to work hard for you. Call 800-686-2237, extension 108.
Spring is here, growing season. The economy is not getting any better. In fact, it's getting worse. Think about it. At this rate, how will your life be in a month or even a year? Maybe you've been putting things off, but the time to act is now. You need to get your seeds before it's too late. At OrganicaSeed.com, you'll find one of the largest online selections of heirloom seeds, survival seed packs, as well as the giant vegetable seed collections that can feed you and your family for years. Grow your very own fresh vegetables, wheatgrass, fruits, herbs, rice, tea, coffee, and tobacco. With detailed growing guides available to you at no charge, you can maximize your harvest and investment. And the best part? All orders ship within 24 hours. So head over to OrganicaSeed.com. That's OrganicaSeed.com. OrganicaSeed.com today.
I'll tell you what they say, if you can dream it, you can do it. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. You know, I said there, I'll tell you about my weekend coming up. I had a great weekend, actually. I went out to the big golf tournament at the Colonial, the PGA Tour stop. They had the pink out on Saturday where everyone wore pink in honor of Amy Mickelson. I was there, and I was just stunned by how many people in the crowd and how many golfers actually did that. And for those of you who don't know, Amy Mickelson, the wife of Phil Mickelson, one of the top golfers in the United States, and she came down, or was diagnosed, with breast cancer. And he jumped off the tour immediately to take care of her to see what was going to happen with that diagnosis. Luckily, it looks like they caught it early, but he wasn't there to defend his championship. So anyway, they had a pink out, and it was a raging success. They raised a bunch of money for breast cancer awareness and I think made some headlines nationally and worldwide for jumping in and filling that space, filling that void, obviously, in a very, very positive way. Also went out to this crazy thing, and I mentioned this earlier in the show, called Dinosaur Valley State Park. And, you know, there's tons of great parks across the U.S., all different kinds of things focused on whether it's a a mountainous area, or if you're talking about great ones like Yellowstone, etc. But this Dinosaur Valley, who knew about it? They have dinosaur, maybe some of you, they have dinosaur tracks, still have them there in different parts of the park, and it's very, very cool where you actually can go in and see, and there's one place called the Blue Watering Hole, and there's dinosaur tracks right there on the bottom of the, you know, the shelf of the limestone. It's strange. It's, they've got a couple of them you can easily identify if you were to look at it, like sauropod tracks, for example. That's the one I think I saw the clearest of all of them that I happened to see, but very cool, cool stuff. It was, so it was a weekend where I got to spend some time outside. Hopefully you had a great weekend as well. Well, as I said, if you dream it, you can do it. And I would never dream of doing this. Eating chestnuts. Yeah. Eating chestnuts as one of those, you know, they have those, that food competition thing. And apparently somebody has eaten 1,000 chestnuts, and this has to be almost a hoax, 1,000 chestnuts in 10 minutes. I don't know that you could eat that in that short of a time. I happened to go through a website, and it said, do you know what famous eater ate 1,000 chestnuts in 10 minutes? And I have to say, no, I don't know. But if you know, email me at americatonight.net, and we'll find out that answer and give it to you on the flip side on our next show. I can tell you this. I happen to be reading this over the weekend, and it was a competition in Culver City, California. And in that competition, the famous Kobayashi, who is a big-time eater on that food circuit, he's a six-time world hot dog eating champ, consumed 5 3/4 pizzones in a six-minute span. And, man, that's incredible if you think about that. And they're called pizzones, like I said. Jeez, I don't know how you can eat that amount of food in that short of a time. It's a pizza, which weighs a pound with pepperoni and other ingredients inside it. It's about 12 inches long, so it's kind of like those calzones is what they call it that. And it has to be one of the hardest things, I would think, to even attempt to eat. What do you think, Matt, is the most that you've eaten at one sitting? Could you do that fast food thing? If you had to be on a food circuit, what would be your poison? What do you think you could down the quickest?
I don't know. I'm pretty good with wings, pizza, any type of Asian food. I don't know. I mean, I think I was better back in my younger days. I used to be able to finish off like a whole medium pizza by myself, no problem. I don't know right now. I think, let me see. I'd have to go probably with the chicken wings.
Chicken wings. You know, there's a big competition in Philadelphia for that every single year.
Really?
Where the person, yeah, it's called the Wing Bowl. And it's amazing how many people go out to see that. I don't know why people go out, but they do. They're just fascinated by this thing. And they'll get 30,000 people, close to 30,000 people, out at one of the sporting arenas. I don't know which one they do it at now, but people go out and they watch and they have a wing off where somebody eats X amount of wings in a certain amount of time and they get these incredible prizes. But I am stunned at the amount of people, one, that go to watch it, and two, that scramble to participate in it. So there is something to that. Hey, don't scoff at it. Maybe you better get your chops up on the whole wing eating thing.
I'll have to check it out. I've been making my own wings recently, though.
Ooh, do you make them hot or no?
Oh, yeah, of course. You can't have chicken wings that aren't, you know, the hot wings, buffalo wings.
That's what I think, too. I like hot wings.
But I do like other varieties. You know, they have the new fad right now is kind of the Parmesan garlic, I think. Those are all right. And then teriyaki can be fun, too. I don't know. I eat tons of chicken wings, so I guess I can go on and on about different things, but... I cook mine, I steam them for about 20 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and then either, depending on what the season is, I grill them in the summer, and I roast them in the winter.
Mmm, that sounds good.
Yeah. I got a thing going on here, you know?
Yeah, we might have to post some of Matt's recipes on the website. All right. And do a little timer thing here. Maybe have a little wing off of our own on America Tonight. But that's
me and you. Because I will destroy you. I'm not going to lie.
You probably would. I don't know that I could just take you on in the wing department. I'm not even sure what I could eat fast in a short amount of time. I almost agree with what you said before. You said the thing about the wings that when you're younger, boy, you can grub, even if you're a girl.
I mean,
but you start to get older. I don't know that you can. You have that capacity anymore to eat in a short amount of time. Some kind of whatever the food is, whether it's hot dogs you're downing or cake or you know whatever it is. It's like at state fairs they always have those things. It seems to be pies or sweet things, and it's not the competitive eating circuit. It's just whoever signs up at a fair, and the pie eating contest used to be, I guess, pretty big. Didn't matter if you were in the middle of the Midwest or in the East Coast or wherever. But now the whole food competition eating thing it's like a moneymaker. There's even, you know, they've got T-shirts and people go and watch, and it's a big deal. The Coney Island thing is huge.
The most I've ever ate chicken wing-wise in one sitting, now it wasn't like a time thing, like I had to do it in 30 minutes or anything like that, but I did eat 50 wings once. I believe it was my junior year of high school, so we're talking years ago when I was skinnier and could eat 50 wings and not have it do anything to me.
Exactly.
Right now, I think if I had about 50, I wouldn't be feeling right for a couple days.
Oh, boy, I agree with you there. 50-wing Matt. Can anyone top that? If you can and you have, man, send us the evidence. I want to see it. Quickly, let's jump to this day in history. It is June 1st. You believe it? 213 days left in the year. Oh, time slips away. For all our friends in Kentucky, in 1792, Kentucky became the 15th state of the Union. Furthermore, in 1796, Tennessee became the 16th state. In 1868, James Buchanan, the 15th president of the United States, died near Lancaster, Pennsylvania. He was 77 years old. In 1958, Charles de Gaulle became the premier of France, marking the beginning of the end of the Fourth Republic. And, wow, hard to believe, but in 1980, a little thing called CNN made its debut and changed cable television. Also, just 5 years ago, here's what happened. A federal judge declared the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act unconstitutional, saying the measure infringed on a woman's right to choose. We're seeing what happened with the controversial doctor, obviously shot in Kansas. How sad was that story? You know, regardless of what he did for a living, sad to see that somebody was gunned down in a church. And he had such precautions as he had bodyguards and whatnot. Quickly, a couple of quick birthdays for you. Actress Lisa Hartman Black, 53 years old. Heidi Klum, everybody knows Heidi Klum, right? Pregnant again with Seal's child, her husband, 36 years old. Also celebrating a birthday. Country singer Ronnie Dunn from Brooks and Dunn is 56 years old. If you're celebrating a birthday, happy birthday to you from America Tonight.